Hey, what's up? This is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 39 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast.
And in this episode of Barbecue City Guide, where I talk to a barbecue expert about where to go if you have 1 or 2 days in a specific city or region, I am super excited to talk to Robert Moss. He is the contributing barbecue editor for Southern Living. He's an author. He's an author. He's a culinary historian. This one is so detailed, so incredible. He is so eloquent in describing things. I don't even want to talk anymore. I just want to jump right into it. This is a great primer if you're going to South Carolina. If you're liking these, please subscribe. That way you can get all the back episodes. I have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. I also have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. But enjoy this. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
How are you doing today?
I am doing well. How are you doing?
I am doing well, and I appreciate you taking the time. I'm glad we finally got a chance to connect. I wanted to talk to you if, because I'm doing these barbecue city guides, and if someone has 1 day, 2 days, or maybe a weekend in a specific city, or be it South Carolina State, what are places that they shouldn't miss for sure, places that they have to go to, maybe some historical spots that they definitely should hit too. So I'd love any input that you had.
Yep. So I guess it's if you have a day trip type of thing.
Yeah.
Is that a good
kinda
rule?
Yeah. Like a barbecue run. They're doing a barbecue run, or they're in town for business and they definitely want to hit one or two.
Well, first, I'm in Charleston, South Carolina. So there's a lot you can do just here in the city of Charleston. But if you really want to do South Carolina barbecue ride, I'd recommend, getting a car and getting out into the out a little bit, but you don't have to have all that far, fortunately, within South Carolina. I think within 2 hours of Charleston, you can hit a pretty good representative selection of South Carolina barbecue styles. Let's just start with Charleston itself, I guess, if you
want. Yeah, for sure.
Just stay here in town. A few years ago, we would have had a lot fewer options. Charleston's really boomed in the past 5 years or so as a barbecue town. Charleston doesn't really have a long-running barbecue tradition. Not a lot of people were cooking barbecue back in the 19th century in Charleston. It's much more of a rural tradition, in South Carolina. But the Bessinger family came down from Orangeburg County, which is up toward the middle part of the state, really right after World War II. And several different brothers, I can't at least track, it's like 7 or 8 different Bessinger siblings were involved in the barbecue business at one time here. And opened up barbecue restaurants, and a number of which are still around. They grew and they contracted. But Melvin's Barbecue, where there are two locations here in Charleston, and then Bessinger's Barbecue, where there's one location there on Savannah Highway south of town. Those are the two that I'd recommend checking out as sort of classic Midland, South Carolina style barbecue. It is mustard based sauce, so that bright yellow sauce that people find so weird when they first come to South Carolina. Really good hash and rice. And if you're not familiar with hash and rice.
Yeah, what is hash and rice for people that might not know?
Well, hash, actually, it comes out of the old hog killing tradition and also a barbecue tradition, because in South Carolina, when you had a barbecue, you killed a hog. Mm-hmm. But whether you're killing a hog to make ham and bacon out of it, or you're killing it to put on a barbecue pit, you're going to have some stuff left over. You have the heads left over. You have all the entrails, so the liver and what they call lights, which are the lungs, the heart, and all the organ meats, and various other bits and scraps. And so hash sort of came about as a way to use up all those parts of the pigs. So you put them in a big old pot, one of these big old giant iron pots, the type of thing that they would use to render lard in. And then throw in onions and maybe some other stuff, spices, and obviously a bunch of water. And then just simmer it and slow simmer it and skim out any of the bones or any of the bits that you couldn't eat. And it all just sort of melds into this thick. It's not really a stew. It's much more smooth and consistent than a stew. Not quite a gravy, but it's almost a gravy.
Okay.
People put different things in it, but usually tomato or something. A lot of folks up toward the Midlands will put their mustard based sauce in it. So a lot of times you'll see it yellow. But it's like this thick, almost meat gravy that gets ladled over white rice, and it's the classic side dish in South Carolina.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, very few people these days make it the old way, which is outside in an iron pot over a fire. Most restaurants now cook it on a stove with a big, one of those big stainless steel pots. And few people, there's not a lot of organ meats anymore. Most people will use like cheap cuts, like a shoulder or something, a pork shoulder.
Sometimes I was going to say, it probably is not quite what it was.
No, not quite, but there still are still a few places where you can find it. And we'll talk about those as we get outside
Excellent.
of Charleston. But the messengers have some really good hash, though. They'll cook that, I'm pretty sure, on a stove. But it's good. I checked those guys out.
Okay.
It's a classic, Midland style barbecue. And then recently, we've had a bunch of of restaurants open up that are from all over. We had a gentleman named Aaron Siegel open a place called Fire Home Team Barbecue. Gosh, probably 10 or more years ago. He's
Yeah, it
from
has been, yeah.
Georgia, and he's bounced around a lot. But it's interesting because he was a fine dining chef. Worked at Magnolia's and some of the other fine dining restaurants here, and then got bit by the barbecue bug and opened his own
Which
barbecue.
happens.
Yeah, it does happen, and it's really good. It's sort of like what happens when a chef sort of meets a barbecue pit, and so they cook a range of stuff from all over. So you get really good salt and pepper Texas style brisket there. You can get pulled pork. You can get the chicken wings are really good. But then there's all these chefy kind of things that they add in specials. They'll put just about anything on the barbecue pit and
That's
turn stuff.
great.
So that's a bit great. And unlike a lot of South Carolina restaurants or South Carolina barbecue joints, Home Team is a full bar. It's much a night spot as it is a barbecue joint, which is unusual for South Carolina. Places like Memphis and even Texas, there's always beer, and a lot of barbecue places are nightclubs and things. Not so much in South Carolina. South Carolina, they've tended to long be, no alcohol, very much like going to a church supper kind of environment. But so Home Team's were shaking that up. And in the past couple of years, John Lewis used to be like he sort of apprenticed with Aaron Franklin in Austin, and then went and became the pit master at Love Barbecue in Austin, which is just really great barbecue trailer. People line up for hours to eat brisket and all that. Well, he showed up about 2 years ago and has opened Lewis Barbecue here, right downtown, and it is literally around the corner from Home Team. So you could eat at one, walk around the corner, and eat the other.
That's great. Oh, that's awesome.
Great
I didn't
brisket.
realize how close they were to each other. Okay.
Yeah, they literally, it's like in the backyard. I mean, you can see from one parking lot, you can see over the wall to the other one, and they're right there in downtown. And John does, of course, fantastic brisket. It is a pure Texas style barbecue joint, but you can get all that right around the corner from Home Team. And then down King Street a few blocks, Rodney Scott, the
Yeah.
famous Scott family from Hemingway, South Carolina, last year, I think it was last year, a year and a half ago, opened up Rodney Scott Barbecue and sort of brought the other big style of South Carolina barbecue, which is PD style whole hog barbecue, down here to Charleston. So I definitely recommend, if you can't get outside of town, if you hit those up, if you hit up Rodney Scott's, you'll get PD style barbecue. If you hit either Melvin's or Bessinger's, you'll get the classic Midlands mustard sauce.
Correct.
And if you get Home Team and Lewis Barbecue, you'll get a little bit of the chef, I guess the chefy and sort of
So you
the
get the whole
cosmic.
gamut right there, and that's all within Charleston.
Yeah, all within actually, yeah, there's a Melvin's right across the bridge. It's probably all in a handful of miles, a couple of miles of each other. You can do it
Right.
all in
So could you
one evening.
possibly walk to all these?
You could, all the ones downtown, yes.
Okay.
The Melvin's or Bessinger's, you'll need a car because
Gotcha.
you have to go over one of the bridges. You have to go either the Ravenel Bridge north over the Cooper River, or you have to go south over the Ashley River.
And you'll need a car anyways to go out to the other places anyway.
That's right, yeah. But you would definitely want to have a car and go see the other places if you're going to do your barbecue tour.
Excellent. Well, that's right there. That's th those are great tips. But I've wanted to. And Rodney Scott, he sort of won a little award recently. So he's a
Yeah, that's right. He got Best Chef Southeast this year from the James Beard Foundation Award. He's not the first barbecue guy, not the first pit master to get Best Chef. Aaron Franklin got the Best Chef Southwest a couple of years
Yeah.
ago, but he's the second one. I said like two is now a trend. two data points, and we were all really happy for him to get that. And
Yeah, it's a great honor.
yeah, and Rodney's place here is a little bit different. So it's definitely worth anybody's while. If you have a car, it's about an hour and a half drive from Charleston. Head up South Carolina Highway 41 out into just the middle of the PD. You'll see a lot of pine trees for an hour and a half. But head to Hemingway and go to Scott's Variety Stores, which is where Rodney got his start. His dad started cooking barbecue there back in the 70s. And it is the true PD style whole hog barbecue. They still do it the old-fashioned way with these gigantic burn barrels, which is really this industrial pipe. Until you see one, it's like all melted and warped because it's been burning so hot for so long, and you have to replace them every couple of years. But they'll throw oak logs in the top of this thing, burn them down to coals, shovel them out of the bottom, and then carry them into the pit. So this is all outside, out behind the pit house, and they carried them into the pit house and shovel them up underneath the pigs on these big cinder block pits. Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. Cook them all night, flip them at the very end. They'll cook them skin side up for 12 hours or more all night long. And then when they're about ready to finish, they'll flip them up on, so skin side down, so the meat's up, and then take this, an actual mop, like a floor mop, but a clean one, and mop it with this just super spicy vinegar sauce that just sort of bastes into it. And then they pull the meat, and it's true pulled pork, and pulled from into long strands with tongs right there in the sort of cavity of the pig, and then mix it all up and serve it. So
is there good seating? I've seen the outside looks really interesting.
It really is. It's a country store. Yeah. That's how they got started.
An old time country store, right? Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it was. At one point, I think they had a garage where they fixed cars and trucks and stuff there, and then got into the barbecue. And, for a long time, it was really just almost like a convenience store. You could get, basic grocery type stuff. And then the barbecue got bigger and bigger. And now it's still a country store, but there's two or maybe three or four tables in there. You can eat there if you want, but by and large, I mean, the great majority of their business is takeout. They'll sell anything from a pound of pulled pork all the way up to the entire pig. And so lots of people will come in and just get very large orders to go or buy a whole pig for a wedding or some kind of party or something like that.
Is a place like that, would that be open 5 days a week, 6 days a week?
No, and this is the thing with South Carolina. Warn anybody who comes to South Carolina, check ahead. Other parts of the country, barbecue is a 6 or 7 day a week enterprise. And a lot of South Carolina, particularly once you get outside of the cities, it is limited hours, limited days. Scott's, I can't remember. I think they're open Wednesday through Saturday. The Wednesday may be abbreviated hours.
Okay.
Always check. Some places are only open for lunch. Some are open for dinner. But yeah, very likely a lot of places really may only be open Friday, Saturday. Okay. May only be up Thursday through Saturday. So you always check ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to try to put hours on all these guides, yeah, because it'll help people out, because that's something you have to do in plotting out any type of barbecue trip.
Yeah, and in South Carolina, at least, I always say call ahead, even if you find somewhere that says they're open on Fridays, because often it's a family run and they decide that they're ready for a vacation, they'll just close down for the week. And you'll drive up and there'll be a sign in the window, close till whatever, especially here in the summertime.
And also, as a quick aside, are people going to expect lines at most of these places?
No, I wouldn't. Not by and large, no. The Texas barbecue is sort of like a cult, in recent years, sort of got us everybody thinking that it's just normal to line up,
exactly,
to wait hours and hours, which it isn't a thing in South Carolina. In fact, John Lewis has made a big point of it. When he brought his Texas style here at La Barbecue, you can wait for 2 or 3 hours, mm-hmm, easily in Austin. You don't wait very long at Lewis Barbecue here at all. He's got his whole system worked out, and they move fast. And he had some lines when they first opened, but they really got it down. And you usually aren't going to wait. I went yesterday to Lewis, and I didn't wait at all. I think there was two people in front of me. It's normal at a busy time to wait 10 or 15 minutes. But people in Charleston, people in South Carolina in general, aren't going to wait hours and hours and hours for barbecue.
Okay, good. Okay, that's good to know. No, that's I didn't think so, but I wanted to run it by you. Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
So Scott's, and that's an iconic place that people need to go to.
Definitely an iconic place. You got to go up. There's not a whole lot of PD style barbecue restaurants left anymore. There is a place called McCabe's in Manning, South Carolina, which is up not too far from Hemingway, which I need to get back to, because it was long been one of my favorite restaurants. Great PD style barbecue and really good sides, a little all you can eat buffet kind of deal. It closed down a little while ago because the family runs it. They had some illness in the family, and then they closed down. But they recently have opened back up with, I think, a little more limited hours, but some other family members running it. I have not been back since they opened up, but that's was always one of my second favorites. And if you're up in that area, like if you're heading up to Hemingway, you probably should check out a place called Cooper's Country Store,
mm-hmm,
which is in Salter, South Carolina. And it's truly a country store. They have one gas pump out front. It's a fairly modern gas pump. I think it takes credit cards, but they only have one. but if you walk in, if you're looking for country ham, that's the place to go. They have just an entire rack, or just rack after rack of country hams hanging in there. It's your classic country store. You can get boots, rakes, canned goods, you know, you name it. And then in the back, they have a counter where they'll serve all kinds of stuff, but including barbecue. Not every day of the week. I can't remember exactly. I usually would go on Friday or Saturday. But they'll have barbecue sandwiches back there from a whole hog barbecue that someone they have a regular person who cooks it there and they sell it. So that's worth checking out and grabbing. And it's only like, it's cheap. It's like $3 or $4 for a sandwich. And
see, people, that's what is so fascinating. North Carolina, South Carolina have a lot of places. Like Stamey's is, yep. I think, $3 something. Yeah, that's just amazing.
Yeah, and that's actually been sort of this tension in barbecue in South Carolina. And it's the same way in North Carolina. You can talk to Sam Jones of Skylight Inn fame and Sam Jones Barbecue. In Charleston, people will, you know, easily pay $15, $20 for a barbecue lunch. People in the small towns and out in the country aren't going to pay that.
No.
And it makes the cost pressure really, really difficult to do that, which is, you know, if you're like Stamey's up in Greensboro, they have this high volume operation. Mm-hmm. Somehow they manage to make a go of it. But, you know, if you have to actually pay rent and city prices, you'll never be able to do that. So you're starting to get sort of two-tier.
And with Charleston, are you getting a little bit of that tourism dollar? Is that like something that's coming?
Yeah, you get the tourism dollar, but all the places, like even Rodney Scott, when he opened up, Hemingway doesn't, the family up in Hemingway, they don't sell beer or anything with it. It's just barbecue, and they have sodas you can, and I think maybe iced tea, which is standard for South Carolina. But everywhere in Charleston, including Rodney, when he moved down here, he serves beer now.
I think that helps offset the price.
Absolutely does. I mean, it you know, any restaurant business, you know, you make more money from the bar than you do from anywhere else. Home Team has a full bar with all kinds of like creative craft cocktails, as does Lewis Barbecue. You know, it's just a totally different dynamic in the city than out in the country.
Now, and out in the country too, you get maybe even the city. Is that sweet tea? Is that something that people should expect?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you go to a place like Melvin's or Bessinger's, they've got these urns of sweet tea that looks like a grain silo. I mean, they're just massive. So yeah, that's definitely a thing, especially these days.
And people should know too sometimes, because I remember when I used to go to High Point in Greensboro a lot for business, and the first time I had sweet tea, I was shocked because, well, I'm from Los Angeles and we don't drink a lot of sweet tea. And I'm like, oh, it just tastes like sugar. Like it was.
Yeah, it is, depending upon who makes it, but yeah, it's basically syrup with some tea leaves in there.
It was good. I got used to it, but I just wasn't the first sip. I was like, what the heck?
Yeah, and usually there's a big, giant urn of sweet tea and maybe like a little plastic pitcher of unsweet off to the side for people who, you know, are watching their figures or whatever it is. But
it's also it probably kind of like it condenses and it becomes probably a little stronger, has it?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Potentially, I don't know. Excellent. I digress. So in that area. And also too, you keep saying PD. When you're saying PD, people might not know what you.
Oh, I forget that people outside South Carolina wouldn't know what the PD is. Even some people in South Carolina might not know what it is. It's really the northwestern region of South Carolina, and there's a river called the Great PD River, and so it's really the PD River Basin, which basically drains all of the northwestern part of South Carolina, and so that region is called the PD. It's a lot of swamps, a lot of low-lying country, and then a lot of farmland out there.
Okay.
So that's the PD, which is so yeah. If you think about the two regions, it's really the PD region, which is that sort of northwestern part of South Carolina, and then the Midlands, which is the area up around Columbia, the capital city, right in the middle of the state. And then that style of barbecue comes all the way down to Charleston, sort of along the down to the coast. And then there's the upstate, which is the western part of the state up near the mountains, which is actually where I grew up. But it doesn't really have as much of a distinctive barbecue tradition as the other two regions.
So where else should people hit? Thank you so much.
I think we've sort of covered the PD pretty well. Yeah, and then as you start moving westward toward Columbia, up toward the middle part of the state, you're going to start getting into mustard sauce-based territory. There's a great place called Sweatman's in Holly Hill, South Carolina, which is sort of midway between Charleston and Columbia. And it sort of bridges the gap. They cook, or bridges the divide between sort of the Midlands and the PD. They cook whole hogs, sort of the same style, very, very similar to the way that the Scots cook them in Hemingway, but they baste it with a really, you know, tangy yellow mustard sauce. So you start getting into that mustard based sauce, and it's, everyone makes it a little bit different, but most of them are some combination of yellow mustard, either brown sugar, honey, a combination, some kind of sweetener. So some are sweeter than others, but it's going to have that mustard bite and real tangy Maybe it's usually some vinegar in there as well, cider vinegar, and then a lot of sweetness from the sugar.
Do you know, is there a reason why mustard sauce took off, or why, what was the origin?
No one really knows. There's this, a lot of folks have speculated that it has to do with some kind of connection to Germany, because there are a lot of people in the Midlands of South Carolina who have German surnames, and all that. I happen to find that totally unconvincing, because the German settlements in the Midlands of South Carolina really happened in the 18th century, a little bit of the 19th century, but mustard-based barbecue sauce didn't really appear until the 20th century. So unless these German-American families just, kept some taste for mustard for generation after generation,
And
and some
adding it to
guy,
every sauce that they
yeah.
had.
Now the Bessinger family claims that their patriarch, a guy named Joe Bessinger, who was sort of the father of all those kids who went down to Charleston and founded the barbecue restaurants. They claimed that their father invented the recipe and came up with it themselves, but with some with a friend when they were cooking barbecue. Other families in the Midlands as well claim they created it. So I don't really know, but I think it really originated back in the early part of the 20th century, which is when prepared mustard started to become sort of commercially available, and you would have had you'd be able to buy like a big jug of mustard at the store,
Yeah, so it could
and
have been
start.
happenstance, I guess, is, or just
Yeah, and that is the time when people were starting to experiment with various other things. Ketchup starts appearing in barbecue sauces elsewhere. So I don't really know why mustard in the Midlands of South
I was
Carolina,
curious. I
but it certainly has stuck. A lot of
Excellent, I
people will
guess.
say it's because of the Germans, but I've other than just some surnames being German, like Bessinger and others, I've not found any direct connection that explain that.
All right, thank you. So Sweatman's.
So Sweatman's is a great place to just sort of get your best of both worlds. You don't really find hash up in the PD part. They don't serve it at Scott's barbecue, but you will get find it at Sweatman's.
Okay.
And as you move further west, you'll really find hash and rice is just everywhere, as is the yellow sauce. You don't see a whole lot of whole hog cooking the further west you go. Most of the they used to do it, but most of the restaurants up there now are cooking shoulders or
Shoulders.
hams.
Okay.
And but they still pull it and dress it in that sauce. So if you head up that way, a couple of places you got to hit. There's a great place called Big T in Gadsden, South
Okay, I don't
Carolina,
know.
which is a little town outside of Columbia. And Big T actually has two restaurants in Columbia proper. Like they're in sort of strip malls out in the suburbs of Columbia. But the original, or the mothership, as they call it, is the Big T in Gadsden, where they do all the cooking. They
Okay.
still cook on wood. And that's a great place. They still put the liver in their hash. So you can really taste that good livery richness to the hash, which is worth checking out. Couple other spots. There's a place called well, the Height family in the Midlands are sort of famous for barbecue. There's a Heights in West Columbia, South Carolina, which is right outside of downtown Columbia, which is like I think it's like a meat market style takeout only. They only serve Monday and I mean sorry. Friday and Saturday, so 2 days a week, I think, is
Okay, wow.
all. But they're cooking whole hogs up there on these just massive pits, and the barbecue is excellent, as is the hash. That's a great sort of takeout place. And then it's a cousin somehow related to that Height, is Jackie Height's in Leesville. And Jackie Height passed away not too long ago, a year or two ago, but his family's still running the barbecue place there in Leesville, and it's whole hog as well. They cook old-fashioned hash out of in the big kettles as
Oh,
well.
that's good.
So I checked those
Oh,
places
for
out.
sure, for sure.
And let me see what else as we head that way. The further west you go, you pass Columbia. Now you're starting. It's about an hour and a half drive from Charleston to Columbia, so you can hit up there in a reasonable
That's not
road.
bad at all.
Yeah, and if you want to go a little bit further west, there's a place called Cannons in Little Mountain,
I haven't heard of
South
that.
Carolina, which it's a way off the beaten path. It's like sort of almost like a sort of mobile home type or temporary type. Well, what do we call those? Like prefab kind of buildings off on the side of the road. I don't know if they even have a sign, but they cook on all wood out back, and they actually cook their hash on wood. So they have big iron
Oh,
pots. They're cooking on wood fire. So that one's worth
that's really
checking
cool.
out.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And so that's sort of, if you do that, you've done the cycle up in the Columbia area, and you can come back down to Charleston and fly out of here or wherever you're going next.
Excellent. So can you explain, is there something like if someone's coming to what's if someone is coming to South Carolina and they have a they're not sure between South Carolina and North Carolina, is there a huge difference or is there sort of a blend? What's
It's a
style-wise?
blur. It's a blur. So I really say you can't, you can't talk about South Carolina, North Carolina isolation because the barbecue styles don't really respect the border there in between them. So the PD style whole hog barbecue is very much a continuation, or that it continues on up into Eastern North Carolina. So what people will call Eastern North Carolina is similar in sense that they're usually cooking whole hogs. Unfortunately, in Eastern North Carolina, a lot of places have switched to gas cooking, which if and when they do cast, they're not really even doing those cookers with a lot of wood. So it's pretty much like roasted pork. But if you find the right places that still use wood, like Grady's or Skylight Inn, which is one of the great one of my favorites, or Sam Jones's, which is only like 15 minutes away from
Yeah,
Skylight Inn.
exactly. Yeah. If you're going to one, you have to go to the other. You have to.
Yeah, they're very, the cooking style is the same. It's very similar to what you'll see down in the PD in terms of whole hog, and the sauce is very similar. It's vinegar and pepper based, so it's like basically vinegar with salt and pepper and a lot of hot pepper, either red pepper or crushed red pepper flakes in it. Everyone does it a little bit differently, whether they baste them on the pit or they do it while they're chopping it. But it's basically pulled or chopped pork, just been whole hog. That's been sort of just drenched in this really spicy, fiery vinegar sauce, which is delicious.
Which makes sense, and I guess people that maybe might not know if they're watching this, they probably know. But in North Carolina, South Carolina, they're going to be getting hog. Hog is king. That's what unless you go to the places like Home Team or Lewis or someplace that's cooking brisket too. Or
Yeah, and brisket, has come all over. Thanks to the popularity of Texas barbecue, there's so many people now who, when they walk into a barbecue place, they think, "Oh, brisket, that's barbecue." So they're, everybody, if you're a barbecue restaurant owner here in
yeah,
South
it's
Carolina,
probably.
do you have brisket? So people are starting to add it. I was talking about Melvin's Barbecue in Charleston, which is one of the old school Midland style barbecue places that came down to Charleston. But David Bessinger there, who is Melvin's son, who runs it today, he added brisket recently.
Oh, wow.
Just because of both the demand and he was seen on TV and he got interested in it. He actually went down to Texas and went visited all the brisket joints and talked to the pit masters and stuff. And I admit it's really, really good.
See, that's
Salt and
fun.
pepper.
That's and if you and if you if you're passionate about it, you can figure it out. It takes, a lot
Yeah,
of
and he said, it wasn't that hard to figure out. He burned up a couple of briskets when he first tried it, but he said after a while you get the hang of it.
That's
Because if
great.
you've been cooking shoulders on, for that long, you sort of know how to control
For
heat
sure, yeah. You
on the
understand
pit.
that.
Yeah, it's not rocket science
What
really.
about sausage? Is there a tradition at all of sausage?
Not really, no. I mean, the hash is probably the closest thing you get to a sausage. That's sort of how they use up the scraps and the leftover parts here. But no, you don't see the big salt. Well, you will at John Lewis, but that's a
That's different.
pure Texas style. So yeah, you don't see hot links or anything like that here, except the places that are trying to emulate Texas.
Of course. I wanted to wrap it up with Southern Living Top 50. What can you explain what that's all about and what you're doing right now to make that list?
Yeah, we've been doing it for a couple of years, and the original list came out of when I first signed on with Southern Living to be their contributing barbecue editor. I had this project where I went all over the South eating barbecue, which is, sort of a tough assignment. So
That's terrible.
we were doing it by region. So I'm, the one I was started the Carolinas, which is easy since I live here. But then, traveled all through Georgia and Alabama, and then all through Tennessee, and so we did print magazine articles about barbecue, like Tennessee barbecue and Kentucky barbecue, and then Texas. And I finished up the last piece of that tour or that project last year with Kansas City. And so did really, I spent a couple of days and just driving around as much as I could. And so coming out of that, we did our first top 10, top 50 barbecue list. I was still sort of making my way around the South. So it was sort of like a work in progress because I was still, there were a lot of places I wanted to go to. The following year, I revised it and put it out again. So I think it was, 2015, I think, was the first year.
Yeah, that's what I did.
2016, yeah, we did a revised version. Took a pass last year. I was still working through. I hadn't gotten to Kansas City yet, and all that, and just still trying to hit some more places. So I have this never-ending list of candidates to go to. But
Oh, no.
this year we decided that, you know, there's been it hadn't changed as much last year if I sat down to it. This year I've visited a lot more places, refined it. There's been a lot of new places have opened up. There's a few have closed up, but mostly it's there's newcomers who are worth considering. So we're doing it again. I'm working on the list right now, and
when does that
you
come
know,
out?
It will come out sometime this summer. It sort of depends upon when I get it finished up, but we're trying to get out in August, so not too long from now. Just watch Twitter or Instagram. You'll see as it's
I'll put links to everything that you have, and I'm also doing a companion blog piece to this. So I think, but also, yeah, if people check out, because you're also putting things without specifying the restaurant, right? Are you kind of teasing?
Well, I've been revisiting as many of the places what I call the candidate places, which are either on the list already, or I'm thinking about maybe getting them on the list. So I'm trying to go back and hit as many as I can here right before we get the list out, so I can double check and make sure that something hadn't slipped or that my memory is.
Will that be? It'll be online, but it will also be something that people can buy.
I don't know if it'll be a print. This one is it's a rather big list actually. By the time you get all 50, so it probably won't be in the magazine. Okay. So some piece of it might be. So yeah, and Southern Living also does their Best of the South Awards, which I'm involved with as well. So there's two different things. So what I'm doing is my list, right? As the barbecue editor who's driven around. These are my top 50. But then we do a reader's poll. Where we basically put a candidate list out there, but then let the readers vote on them. And we've been doing that for a couple of years, and it's been a big success. So you sort of see both sort of like the editor's pick and then the reader's picks will be coming out. I think that's usually out in the first part of the year.
So people should subscribe to the magazine, because a little bit isn't your stuff dotted throughout the year, right?
Oh, yeah. There'll be stuff throughout. You know, a lot of times I've got a feature coming out. I can't remember what month it'll come out. It's sort of funny with magazines, the lead time. So, long. Oh, yeah. My deadline's coming up, but it may not hit print for 6 months.
Until
but
like
sometime, yeah, sometime later on, I'm doing a feature on women in barbecue.
Oh, awesome. That's great.
You know, tip masters and things like that, which is a really interesting topic. There's a lot more activity there in recent years than I'm writing about. So, yeah, so watch the magazine. There's a lot of stuff out there. And then with the top 50 this year, in the past, it's always been sort of like, here are the top 50 in alphabetical order, no particular order. This year, I'm biting the bullet because I'm going to try to actually rank them from 50 on up to one. Yeah.
The
name. And
this
is very,
because I think you had a top 10, right?
Yeah, I had a top 10. It was easy enough to say that these are the top 10, and then here's all the rest is sort of what I did last couple times. But this time around, I said, because what happens is people don't read that closely, and so they're going to assume that the first one on the list is number one.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, it just begins with A. I think A&R Barbecue was in Memphis was the
it
first
was,
in the
yeah,
list.
I was looking at that last night.
Yeah, those are just in alphabetical order. But we're going to actually sort them, I think, this year, which is hard because I'm trying to compare. How do you compare, let's say, Franklin Barbecue in Austin with Moonlight Inn in they were making mutton up in Owensboro, Kentucky, with like Sam Jones Barbecue and Aiden with Whole Hog? I mean, that's there. It's not even apples and oranges. Like apple and oranges, grapes and pears, So, but I'm working on it. I'll
I
have
wish
to.
You luck. That's I'm really excited to see that. That's gonna be yeah.
So the list changes it daily. Every time I look at it, I swap things around and move this up and this one down.
For sure. And also too, and where were you born?
I was born I was actually born in Decatur, Georgia, right outside of Atlanta, but I grew up in Greenville, South Carolina, in the western part of the state.
Okay.
And at the time, Greenville's barbecue was very much like Piedmont, North Carolina. So I sort of grew up with that Piedmont, North Carolina red barbecue sauce. And back then, regional varieties, people didn't really know about them, right? I went to graduate school in Columbia, which is the first, just is only like 100 miles from Greenville. First time I ever had barbecue sauce is when I moved down, or yellow mustard-based barbecue sauce is when I moved down there. And
interesting. Like nowadays, people see it everywhere. Like it's anything.
It's merged, but no, at that time, it was unheard of, even 100 miles away up in Greenville. So yeah, I'm a South Carolina native. I consider myself. I was born in Georgia, but I lived there all of a year before we ended up in South Carolina.
Gotcha. Oh, that's awesome. Well, I would love to talk to you when the list comes out. If we could maybe do another little feature. If you have the time, I would love to talk to you about the list, because I think people would really
definitely.
Be
I'd be happy to, and maybe talk a little bit more about the the process of the reasoning that went into
I think
the
that'd be great.
selections.
I would love to, and I try to. If we did that, then I try to edit it within a couple of days so it can come out, so people can, so you can refer back to, or people can at least see your thought process, because I think it's important, because a lot of people, they, you know, everyone has a strong opinion about everything.
It's amazing. Yeah, anytime you dare to rank anything, even if you aren't trying to rank it, if you just if you say, here are 10 places you should try, then you're bound to get an argument
Exactly.
started.
And with this, I'm trying to like celebrate barbecue, because, you know, there's a lot of people that are very critical about things, but I figure celebrate, and I still get people saying like, "Well, that place is just awful," and I'm like, "Well,
Yeah. Well, for me, that's always about getting, it's like if you're going to South Carolina, you got tour around and hit all the different types of places, because the variety is what's so interesting. You know, it's
exactly."
great to seek out all these different little micro regional styles. And so if you insist that barbecue is just this one thing, then you're missing out on an awful lot.
And the way you've described these places too, people need to visit the places because they're visiting for the experience. So it's not
Oh
just
yeah.
the food, it's the experience and the people, and if there's the people that actually work there and have worked there for 20, 30, 40 years, that's.
Yeah, and particularly in South Carolina, you know, barbecue joints are places that whole families come together. They're sort of part of the community. People grow up eating there. They associate it with home. So people who move away from home, a lot of times when they come back to visit, like if you come back, if you live in Leesville, you've got to go Jackie Heights for lunch because that's just where you go. And so it's more than just like, this is why the lining up for barbecue thing doesn't really resonate with me, because it's not like this, you know, bucket list experience. It's really much more getting back, enjoying the community, understanding the community and the people around you, you know, that's one of the great thing about visiting all these places, because you also get off the beaten path and you see parts of South Carolina that you wouldn't ordinarily see if you're just driving down the interstate
Yeah,
highways.
not just the barbecue spot, but yeah, the
That's right.
whole region.
Oh,
That's
you see everything. You know, you see the town, you see a lot of the countryside. You see a lot of pine trees. But that, yeah, that's part of South Carolina as well.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. I
Yeah,
greatly
sure
appreciate
thing.
this, and have a great weekend.
All right, you too.
I think
Thanks.
so.